Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
The book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 1, verse 29. Next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. And I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples looking at Jesus. As he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following him, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, translated teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. And now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonas. You shall be called Cephas," a stone. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this day that you take this message and you lay it upon the hearts of each one that is called to do your work. Lord, I pray that you give us strength to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Who was John the Baptist? John the Baptist was born to Mary's cousin, Jesus' mother. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was not. But John the Baptist knew that he had a role to play in what was being laid out. And God had called him to baptize. Now, they had baptized before in Israel. But John was calling people to be baptized as repentance for their sin. For the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no righteous man, no, not one. So when we get on our high horse and think that we're pretty good, the Bible speaks different about you. You may be good compared to other people, but the Bible says to compare yourselves with yourselves is sin. We're to compare ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect. And all have come short of the glory of God, and that was Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans. There was a day when I was in the Navy, and I was sitting at a red light just outside the Navy base, about the fourth car back. The light turned green, and the cars, if you were a sailor, you understand this, but you couldn't wait to get out of the Navy base. So they would come out of there and they would go straight, they would go to the right, or they would go to the left. And this one fella came out with a pickup truck, and I mean, he floored it. And that's back when they had one-wheel drive on the back. Well, that one wheel hit the stone in the middle of the road under that stoplight, and he just spun in a circle and came around and hit the car in the door that was just sitting there. That meant I had to stay there because I was what you called a witness. Now, I saw what happened. I saw it so clearly that it would convict the guy that came out of the stoplight. I saw it so clearly that the guy would have to pay a fine for what he did coming out of that stoplight. Matter of fact, they took my testimony down, but I was not allowed to judge him. They had somebody else to do that in a courtroom. And I wasn't allowed to administer the fine because the judge did that in the courtroom. And I didn't even get any money from that fine because the courthouse got that from the judge, from the man that the judge said in the courtroom. You got it? That reminds me of the house that Jack built. Remember that old nursery rhyme? You know, this a crow crowed and mourned, woke man all tattered and torn, kissed the maiden all forlorn, milk cow crumpled horn, tossed the dog, worried the cat, killed the rat that ate the malt, the laden house. Remember that? Where'd that come from? Whatever, Lord. You're just showing them my mind still works. John made this statement. John said, I am a witness. The witness was not the judge. The witness was not the jury. The witness was not the executioner. But he said, I am a witness. And let me tell you, as our role and our position in the church, we are to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. We're not to be judges of Christians. We're not to be executioners of Christians. We're not to administer fines upon people who aren't Christians. We are to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Because when we take on the role, or any other role than a witness, people see us as sinners. And they have no desire whatsoever to be like us. Matter of fact, you can catch a guy in a lie. And you can tell him point blank, you are a liar. And he'll say, and you are mean as a snake. You embarrass me in front of a whole group. He will judge you immediately. So when God told us that we are to be witnesses, I think that the first witness out there gives us a lot of examples of what we're supposed to witness to. First of all, John said, I witness that this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. Have you witnessed that? Have you witnessed that and have you told other people that? Jesus is the Son of God. There's a lot of beliefs out there about Jesus. Some people believe he was a good man. Some believe he was a good teacher. Some believe that he's just a historical figure. But to believe that he is the Messiah, that he came to fulfill a role, that he came to pay the price for our sin. They don't believe that. Matter of fact, the people that don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is the Messiah, do not believe they're in sin. They believe anything they do is okay as long as it's okay if they do it. They judge themselves, but they do not compare themselves to the Son of God. So the first thing that we witness is the same thing that John the Baptist witnessed. Here is Jesus. He is the Son of God. Well, what if somebody asked me, how do I know that? Well, number one, he is born of the Virgin Mary. Well, how do I know that? Because he rose from the dead. Well, how do I know that? Well, he is seen by over 500 people. Well, if someone rose from the dead, it would change all of history. It did. It changed our art, it changed our literature, it changed everything, the way we do government, it changed everything. 2,000 years ago, everything in this world changed because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He was the Son of God. He was predicted in the Old Testament by the prophets. He fulfilled all of the promises of the Old Testament, 2,000 of them, of who the Messiah was to be. God knew that we would need a record, we would need proof of who this was that he was sending. So John the Baptist witnessed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He also witnessed that he took away the sins of the world. Have you witnessed that? Do you know anyone that's troubled? Anyone that their life's messed up, they've messed up, they've got into sin, they've got into habits, they've got into things they can't get out of. Jesus died that we can get out of that. Jesus died we can get out of a bad attitude. Jesus died that we can get over a bad temper. Jesus died that we can get through any and over any addiction that we might have. Jesus died that we can be kind rather than mean. Jesus died for all sins. That's why Jesus came. And that is the witness. It doesn't matter what. So have you ever tried to help someone that's going through hard times? Have you ever mentioned Jesus? Have you ever talked to them about the Son of God that came to take away the sins of the world? There is nothing that comes off your shoulders like coming clean before God. And allowing him to purify you. You know what draws people to Jesus Christ? You know, it is having enough eternity in here that people out there that see it, that they want to step out of this temporal life and step into an eternal life. It is showing people enough of who Jesus is that you live on eternal values. That means you're not jealous, you're not envious, you're not full of strife, you're not full of hatred, you're not high-minded. You treat people equally, you treat people with honor and distinction, all people. And they see that, and they see your values are not built upon what you have here or what you might gain here, but they're built on eternity, and everyone wants that. You can take the worst sinner in the world and he can be a billionaire and he'll spend that $1 billion trying to live one more year. So don't you tell me people are not seeking eternal life. Everyone out there on the outside of these walls is seeking eternal life. And the Bible says that God has put eternity in our heart. Every man knows in his heart that life is eternal. And if we do not witness that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that Jesus Christ forgives sins, then we're not witnessing. He's the Son of God. John the Baptist said he's the only begotten Son of God. There aren't 14 of them. There aren't 15 of them. There wasn't one every 200 years. Jesus is the Son of God that takes away the sins of the world. And he told his disciples, these are men who worked with John the Baptist. These are men who followed John the Baptist. He told his disciples, there's Jesus, the Son of God, who takes away the sins of the world, and they left John and followed him. I didn't see John getting jealous or upset. If you're in this church because you like me, that's fine, but you need to see him. You need to leave me and see him. If you've been in some church where you follow some preacher, you need to leave him and follow Jesus. If you're here because of Michael, you need to leave him and follow Jesus. That's what it's all about. It isn't about who I am. It isn't about who he is. It's about who Christ is. And the first thing Andrew did is he went and got his brother Peter. And Peter was the one that Jesus said, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. Why? Because Peter had said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was a witness. The churches have been built throughout all of the last 2,000 years because people witnessed that Jesus was the Son of God that takes away the sins of the world. Salvation is not just seeing Jesus as a good part of your life and adding him to your portfolio. Salvation is repenting of the life that we had that was tied to this world and say, I am taking on the life of eternity. I am stepping into eternity. So it's all about him. I don't talk about money much. Never had enough to talk about. The reason I don't is because when you see eternity, the earthly values don't mean that much and you'll give. When you see that your values are there rather than there, you'll send it on ahead rather than keep it here. That's just the way God works. But there's another step here that John the Baptist says. And listen to this. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I come baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained upon him. I do not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I'm not a Pentecostal, but I believe you need the Holy Spirit of God in your life to witness. I believe that sometimes we see TV evangelists and we see things going on, and so we just say, well, we need to just stay completely away from that. I believe if the Holy Spirit was in Jesus Christ and that he is God, was one with the Father and the Son, then the Holy Spirit has a unique work to live within us and to use us, and you can't witness without the Holy Spirit going there first. So you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you call it baptized with the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you call it sanctified. I don't care if you call it unction of God. I don't care what you call it. But you need that third person of Jesus Christ in your life to walk before you, to open doors, to close doors, to convict you of sin, to show you who to witness to. And you say, well, preacher, I thought that all just came at one time. It can, but as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we grow and we allow that Spirit to grow. God is in you. He knows where you go, kids, at school. He knows every class you go into. He knows every word that you say. He knows everything that you write. He knows everything that you do. The eyes of the Lord are upon it from the beginning of the year until the ending of the year. And the Holy Spirit of God will allow you to do more than you ever could do. Someone said to me that, what did I think of Tim Tebow back when he was playing? I watched him in high school. I said he was a water boy on my Heather's brother's football team in Florida. He was the water boy when her brother played high school football. I watched him high school, I watched him in college, and I watched him in the pros, and I never saw him do anything but win. Did he have the best arm? Maybe not. I saw him win the Heisman Trophy. But I do know this, I've never seen him do anything but win. And I think Tim knows something that most of us know, that I know. I could not pastor this church in the way that I pastor the church and have the things happen in this church that have happened over the years had it not been for the Holy Spirit. It makes me better. It makes things happen that I can't make happen. I remember they were trying to explain how overtime worked when they were in the playoffs, and Tim Tebow was a quarterback for Denver. And before they could explain it, he threw a pass and as a touchdown, they won the game. And somebody says, but he isn't good enough. He isn't good enough. And I'll tell you what scared the people. I think the Holy Spirit scared teams because they couldn't explain how he did what he did and when he did it. That's the way God works. You want to be the best at your job, you want to be the best that you do, then allow the Holy Spirit of God to work through you. You'll do a better job, you'll be a better boss, you'll be a better worker, you'll be better at everything you do. And he said, here is the one, Jesus Christ, that comes to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. God lives in you, Christians. He lives in you. And when people see God, they look through you, and it's that God that will change the world. Are you a witness? Are you just a bystander? Today we have a problem in this world that people see people being beat up and they turn and go another way because they don't want to be a witness. They're afraid. What's keeping you from being a witness to Jesus Christ? Are you afraid? You afraid what someone may say at school or at work? Are you afraid what someone may say on your fishing trip or your hunting trip? Fear and faith cannot exist together. And in this world, everyone has fear. But when you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and you believe that He rose from the dead, and you believe that He takes away the sins of the world, and the Holy Spirit is in you, your fears go away. I was teaching a class several years ago to some of the young married people. And one of the topics was fear. Your spouse will know your fears better than anyone. And when you get in a fuss, they'll use it against you. So I asked Terry, I said, Terry, what's my biggest fear? Well, this is my wife speaking. You know what she said it was? Don't start guessing. She said, you don't have one. I've never seen you been afraid. You don't have to have a fear if you walk by faith. I've had fears. I've had fears because I've stumbled. I've had fears because I walked through a door I shouldn't have, or I've had fears because I didn't walk through a door that I should. But when we step out by faith, those fears go away. It's like stepping in out of darkness into light. Are you a witness? Or someone that's too afraid that just walks away? That's what's wrong with the country today. That's what's wrong with the church today. And you say, well, preacher, there's a guy at work that preaches to everybody. You don't have to preach to everybody. All they need to do is see eternity in you. And they'll come up to you and they'll tell you their daddy's real sick. Pam came to me this week, told me her dad had been diagnosed with, he's real sick. And I'll pray for him. People will do that at your work because they know you have eternity in your heart. Let us stand. John said in the first chapter, the chapter we just read from, the 14th verse, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Even though we are made of flesh, if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, people will see God in you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this day that we stop being judges and juries and executioners, that we just be a witness of who You are, what You did in our lives, and we be willing to share that. We have way too many people out there claiming to be Christians that just seem to judge everyone, put down everyone. Instead of opening doors, they're closing doors. And instead of turning on the light, they're shutting the door into darkness. Lord, I pray that we realize today that we need Your Spirit in order to guide us. We need Your Spirit in order to speak. We need Your Spirit in order to witness. And Lord, we know that that Holy Spirit will take free rein in our lives if we just yield. We just let go. Realize that we're in this thing called Christianity over our heads, and let go and allow You to carry us. And for that, we'll give You the thanks. Because, Lord, we believe. We really do believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.